Like I said, I'm excited to be here. I appreciate Pastor Matt giving me the opportunity to share with you tonight. We're continuing on the series that he started last week with the overarching title called Back on Track. And I personally believe, you know, Matt told me what the title of this whole series was, and I was pretty excited because this is one of the things that I've been praying about for the church for a long time, is that we would get to a place where we would get back on track and get back in the church and doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? So tonight, I want to talk a little bit about, the title of my message is called Back in the House. Are y'all glad to be back in the house? So I'm going to talk about a couple of things, but I just want to start out and I want to say, you know, this year has been a roller coaster. From February of last year to February of this year, I mean, we have undergone some serious culture shock, not only in the church and in our nation, but around the world. And a lot of things has changed. I mean, how we work. There's been a lot of people, I mean, companies have realized that they don't have to have people sitting in buildings to do a lot of office work, that they could get people out and telework and still get productivity. You know, relationships have been under roller coasters this year with, you know, even some of the they didn't want you to travel, so you couldn't go see your family. You couldn't, if you had relatives that were in nursing homes or places that they were being taken care of, you couldn't go see them. And there was a lot of disruption that was just happening in the families at large. I mean, even with schools, think about that. I don't even want to imagine for 1 minute me trying to homeschool my sons. And I just give y'all the credit who are doing that on a day in and day out basis. That is amazing that you're able to do it. Because me having to sit home with my young, Ian might have been okay. Aaron would have been a little bit of a challenge. Entertainment has changed a lot. Now, you don't go to movies anymore. Things have shifted up. You know, even the fact that dining out is something that, I'm appreciative that here in Virginia, we can still do that a little bit. But there are places around the world where they still can't eat in restaurants. Still can't eat in restaurants. And this is just, it just kind of blows me away. And so what we've been brought into is we've been into this place now where we're moving out of this kind of environment that we have in church where we're hanging out together. And we're almost being, over the past year, we've been almost forced into a digital environment where we do everything online. And it's just, to me, you know, I would say forced. I'm almost going to use the word, we're being programmed to do things online in the digital environment. And me, I'm a person, a people person. I love to get around people. And it's just, it's disrupting to my own personal lifestyle when I can't do that. And so two things this year that I believe, there's two things that happened this year that I think have kind of contributed to a lot of the roller coaster that we've been on. We talked a little bit already about the impact that COVID has had on our, let's just talk about the church. The impact, I mean, there were a few months there that we weren't meeting at all. And even now, we still have to be at reduced levels of people and doing the social distancing and wearing the mask. And so COVID's been one thing. But you know, this year we've also had another thing that has happened, and that's division. I don't think in my 61 years of life have I ever seen as much open, divisive, anger toward groups of people than I have through this last political season. It was nasty. And the sad part about it is that political spirit invaded the church. It invaded the church. You had people on the right, you had people on the left, and for some reason, the church forgot that we weren't serving a political candidate, that we serve a king. And we forgot that. And that's really kind of messed up. And when you think about the source, the origin for both disease and for division, it's Satan. It's straight up the enemy. We're not waging this war against flesh and blood, right? But against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And so we're waging this war against the enemy, and Satan has come to disrupt and divide. John wrote it this way, as he said that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the one thing that he would love to take down the most is the church. So what better way to do it than to separate us and then divide us. Do you know that we still have people that used to come to Harvest that won't come back to Harvest now because of the perceived political stance that they believed we were taking during the election? And I understand that. I clearly understand that. Just as much as I understand the other side of the house when they felt that this one candidate was the best candidate because they thought that he represented more of the Christian values that we adhere to. But see, here's the thing. We took our eyes off the king. As a church at large, we took our eyes off the king, and we have to remember that there is a source for all of this evil that comes at us, and that source is the enemy. I'm going to tell you this also, and this is one of the things that as I was preparing for this message, I was praying, Lord, you need to help me get this right, because I don't want it to be misunderstood. But one of the things that Satan has succeeded in doing in not only society, but also the church, is he's injected a spirit of fear in the church. And that's the cause of a lot of the things that's going on right now. So I want you to just kind of keep that in mind as we go through, because now I want to talk a little bit about the local church and what it involves. We're going to get back home. What it involves. You know, you can look around, even Chesapeake, Virginia Beach, Norfolk. Do you realize there's churches that haven't met since COVID broke out? I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine that I couldn't come in this house and worship with my brothers and sisters and experience the presence of God with you know, our worship team and get in here face-to-face with our pastors as they preach the word. This is something that I crave as a Christian. But in a lot of churches, they've moved out to that whole digital thing, which is good. It has a purpose, but it doesn't replace this. You know, the church is called, I love Paul's description of the church. He calls us eyes and ears and hands and feet and arm and just pick what part of the body you are, right? But the intention, when Paul was writing this, he had something that he was trying to say to the church. And in fact, he was trying to say, look, all of you have a purpose inside the church. You may be a hand, you may be an arm, you may be a foot, you may be a leg, but the hand can't function without the arm. Right? The foot can't function without the leg. And this is the whole point about what Paul was saying is about the believers need to get back in to the church. The believers need to become what God ordained us to be. You know, he gave us, and I think this kind of what, this look, you get these big powerhouse churches, and they get on the digital age like they have been for years. And they preach the gospel through the internet. They preach the gospel on TV. They do all this stuff. They have got this down. And there's a lot of people that come to know Jesus through that. But you know what? God ordained the church. He put us on a mission to go preach the gospel. He didn't put us on a mission to sit at home on our couches and watch stuff on television. As much as I love that, I try to be in the church service every time the door is open, because this is just where I feel God has planted us. Grace and I feel that way, that this is where we need to be. And so this is where I think that the church needs to come, because this is the place where the equipping happens. And then this is the place where the talents and the gifts of the believers are put to the best use. We can get out into the community. And you know, when you put 200 of us together, we're much stronger than one of us. When we do events like we even did out here this past Saturday, where we just had this thing that we did in the parking lot, and you know, we were just handing out food and praying for people and just bringing the gospel. This was something very simple that was done. And it was amazing because, you know, I was sitting back and, you know, you get to watch the different people praying for others, and you just ask God, like, God, what is the impact that is going to happen in that person's life? And then we even had a couple that drove by that were impacted by what happened, and they came to church on Sunday. What an outreach. I mean, you know, Pastor Matt and I were talking this morning, and it's like you don't look down on the ones and twos, because you got to start somewhere. And I just believe that as the church begins to get back together, that there's going to be a blessing that's going to occur. And so Jesus never intended us to recoil and hide ourselves. We can't hide ourselves behind our front doors. You know, and there's a lot of people, and I really understand this, and I don't want people to take what I'm saying out of context, because I do have compassion for this. But we can't let fear of any kind govern our lives. We understand that there are some people that have specific medical conditions that are at very high risk that deal with stuff, and we know that. But as at large, as this healthy body at Harvest, we know that we have a call in on our lives. And you know, I started to think back as I was preparing this message, and I was thinking about Jesus and how he dealt with his disciples. And I was like, you just sit there with Jesus when he's teaching you, and I can't tell you how many times I read in the Bible where Jesus said, "Fear not. Fear not." As a matter of fact, if you go through Scripture, if you Google it, it'll tell you that the term "do not fear" or "be not afraid" or some form or fashion like that, over 300 times, it's the most mentioned phrase in the Bible, is to not to be afraid. And I know that almost every one of us last February and March, when this thing hit the street, the first thing that hit us was, oh man, we got to be careful. We just can't get around each other because we're going to spread it. And I'm not discounting the fact that this thing super spreads. I've had COVID, and I know how easy it is. I know how easy it is to catch it, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it because I know that God has my feet on a path that I need to walk, and he's going to equip me until it's time for him to take me. Amen? So he says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And in Isaiah 41:10, he writes, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so as the body of Christ, we need to come in alignment with the head, who is Jesus. We need to come into that alignment with the head. Y'all receiving this tonight? Okay. So this scripture in Hebrews is always one. I was taught this as a young Christian, and I think the Passion Translation really brings this out better than any other translation. The writer of Hebrews says that this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. What day is he talking about? As we anticipate the coming of our Lord, as we anticipate the coming of Christ, we in the church, we need to come together to encourage each other and urge each other on. Especially when you look at it in the context that it's not God's will that any should perish. And that he's ordained the church, his body, to be that component within the kingdom that goes out and sees people come to Christ. That's what he's ordained us for. And so, if you're in a position right now where you, let me just say it this way. For some believers, not gathering together makes us feel disconnected. I'm that guy. If I'm not gathering with my brothers and sisters, I feel disconnected. If I'm not talking to people that I'm in relationship in the church, I feel disconnected. Do you know that if you don't come to church, one of the things that also rises up is discouragement? I'm in this all by myself. Nobody cares. You know, you have this Trinity pity party, me, myself, and I. And there you sit, and you get in this discouragement. And, you know, you have some people that through this digital age, they may sit back on that couch, and you may hear them say, "Well, I've got all this in front of me. Why do I even need to have to go to church anymore?" And I think the worst thing that can happen if you don't gather together in church for some people is that over time they get disconnected, they get discouraged, and they fall away. God forbid that happen. But there's a reason that we come together. And we need to take the opportunity as people who enjoy freedom to do that. Because in not every part of the world do they even have the ability right now to come in with masks on and meet. Ian's sitting in Germany right now, and they're still in lockdown. They can't meet in any kind of group. He's doing all his missionary work right now via Zoom, and it's driving him nuts because he wants to get back with his team and start interacting with them. So what happens when you get back in church? These are some of the things that I just kind of, and I just put a list up here of some of the things that occur when you get back in church. You know, we already, you've seen the scripture. It's a place of encouragement. It's a place where you can get lifted up. It's a place that teaching goes on, and you can hear the word of God. These series that Pastor Matt has been preaching with Brad, these things have been phenomenal. I really liked the story about the chest hair last week, by the way. That's pretty good, right? I wish I could relate to that, but I'm not there yet. It's a place to learn. It's a place to gain information. It's a place to fellowship. It's a place to build your close friends. It's a place to create ties. It's a place to belong. It's a place where you come to serve and give of yourself. It's a place where you can experience the presence of God. You can experience others. And I think what people don't realize is that in the midst of a church, when you're dealing with God and you're dealing with others, you end up dealing with yourself. People don't realize that, but you end up dealing with yourself. It's a place where spiritual warfare takes place, where we begin to pray for Bill Doyle, where we begin to pray for people who are going through different things in their life, where we begin to intercede on behalf of our city, where we begin to intercede on behalf of our nation. It's where we join with heaven to bring heaven down. Amen? As Jesus taught us to pray. It's a place where we can get up here and testify. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And so when we get up here and we testify of the goodness of God and the things that he's doing in our life, people can begin to take on that promise because he's not a respecter of persons. And if he did it for him, he can do it for me. And so that testimony raises faith in people. So it's a place that we can come and testify. And I don't know if this one's up here or not. Yep, number 9. It's a place where you're planted. And it's a place where you can develop roots. How many of you guys have seen the tree that the youth group are using for their ministry, the Cultivate, right? They've got a tree sitting there, and it's showing how deep the roots go. And see, this is the thing. When you get into a church, you can get planted. You get rooted in a church. Grace and I have been in this church since 1997. There's only a couple people sitting in this room who have been here longer than us. I know. You guys were here long before us, right? So it's a place that we can really get planted. And it's a place that collaboratively, all of our talents and all of our gifts come together for the kingdom. And if we're not in the house, if we're not actually in the house and you have gifts and talents that you know God has given you, and we're not in the house, those talents are not getting used through the church for kingdom purposes. And that's why we need to be in the house. That's why we need to be here. And you know, here's something, you guys, I don't know if you've gotten the impression of this, but Pastor Matt and Pastor Lori have an amazing vision for where we're going. We had a missions committee meeting a couple of weeks ago, and in our discussions, because we can't travel, you know, to distant lands, we can't go do all that. What we're going to do is we're going to focus our missions on Chesapeake and Virginia Beach and the local area. And we're going to go out into the city and begin to evangelize and to win people for Christ. And in order for us to do that, we need the full body. We need all the gifts that people are carrying to come in. We need all your ideas. We need all your prayers. We need everything that God has put within you to begin taking part in the vision that we have to get into the city. Outreaches, men's and women's events, youth events, children's events, prayer walks in the city. You know, so many different things that we can do. You know, just letting the city know that, hey, harvest is here. Harvest is here, the doors are open, and you're welcome. And see, that needs to be our heart's cry. But we need to get back in the house and stay in the house to be able to do that. And I believe that now's the time. Because I believe we're at a point right now where this river is beginning to break over the dam. And that everything that has been holding us back is getting ready to fall. And I believe this river is getting ready to move. And I think it's important that as I've been saying, we just need to get back together. So here's the thing. Question. How is the church empowered? How is the church empowered? So we come all back together. I mean, we're in the room. We're ready to go to work. But where is the source of the power? Gifts and talents are just gifts and talents without the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit on everything that we do. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples sitting in the upper room experience something that I want. I want the mighty rushing wind. I want the tongues of fire. But that's exactly where the church is empowered at, in the presence of a holy God. That's where fear is broken. That's where faith rises. That's where we can feel confident that we can be released, and God is going to release so much through us that it's going to change our city. And we have to get to that place where we get a hold of it. So the next question is, where is vision birthed? Where is it shared? Where is it believed? And where is it enabled? Where does this happen at? Can I tell you a secret? Let me tell the camera. Can I tell you a secret? She always tells me I never look at the camera. It happens in here during prayer. It happens in here during prayer. When you get together and you start praying corporately, like we're getting ready to do here in about 7 minutes, then what happens is that we come together in unity and we begin praying about the same things. And in the book of Acts, it said that the disciples were all in one Honda Accord. That was a Charger joke. I'm sorry. It just came out. Right? But that is where the vision is birthed. That is where it's shared. That's where it's believed, and that's where it is abled. It is done that way in prayer. That's where God speaks to us. So where's the love of God and the love of others developed? In prayer. And it's good that you're praying by yourself. You got to do that. But when you come in the house and you pray together and you intercede together, that's where we begin to meld with one heart, one mind, and one love of God that leads us to the love of others. Amen? Where is generosity birthed? What is generosity? Is it just finances? Is it just giving of yourself? Is it just... Generosity, in my Chuck's definition, is that it's your ability to lay down what you have for others. It's your ability, how generous you are depends on what you can lay down for others. Sometimes people don't need $100. They need a friend. Be generous with your time. Right? And so this is the thing, but that is birthed in prayer. In prayer, you get out of your own head. And you get in a place where God can speak to you. And where does the church come into unity? Right here. It is so hard to be unified over the airwaves. I mean, I have churches that I love to watch around the country. I do. I love. There's some pastors that I watch. I just really receive from them. But that's not my home church. This is my home church. This is my house. This is where Grace and I have a desire to serve. And this is the place where Grace and I have the desire to be unified with other believers for one mission, one vision, to see God just erupt on the city of Chesapeake and just begin to release his spirit out there and just begin to see souls get saved. Would I love to fill this church up with souls? Absolutely, I would. Is my goal to fill this church with souls? No. My goal is to fill heaven with souls. Right? And so how do we get to that place where we come into unity? We get back home. The heart and the spirit of a church is revealed and developed in intercessory prayer. The heart and the spirit of a church is revealed and developed in intercessory prayer. And that's where we have to get to as a church. And the blessing that comes with that, if you read about all of the revivals that have taken place in past years, you know, the fourth great awakening, the third great awakening, the second great awakening, the first great awakening, Brownsville, the Book of Acts, Toronto, Lakeland, I mean, all these revivals that have sprung out all around the world, the Welsh revival, all of these things, the thing that preceded every revival was prayer. Every revival was preceded by prayer. And it was preceded by people coming in here and getting on their knees and travailing before God for the souls of men. And in some of those revivals, like the Welsh revival, people were changed so much that certain businesses shut down. There were no bars. There were none of this stuff that could even remain open because people just didn't attend them anymore. What a revival. What are you willing to pray for? What are you willing to pray for? Tonight I want to release a passion for travailing revival prayer. I pray that the people of Harvest would be focused on the harvest. That's my prayer. I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to go into a song. And then after we get, for those of you that are viewing online, we're going to cut away from the song and then we're going to go inside the house into intercessory prayer. But let me encourage you this way before I read this and then transition into the song. We do this every Wednesday night, like clockwork. After the Wednesday message, we are in the house. We are in the house to pray. We are in the house to pray for souls. We're in the house to pray for people in the church. We're in the house to pray for our nation. We're in the house to pray for our world situation. We are in the house to storm the gates of hell and to bring heaven down. And we would really like you to join us. But let me read you this statement from Catherine Coleman as I close out and we get ready to go into a song. She said that God doesn't ask for golden vessels, and he doesn't ask for silver vessels. God asks for a yielded vessels, those who will submit their will to the will of the Father. The greatest human attainment in all the world is for a life to be surrendered to him, that the name of Jesus would be glorified through that life. So let's listen to this song. And when this song passes, we're going to go ahead and cut off the live feed. But I want to thank all of y'all for coming tonight. But stay tuned to the song, because even in this song, there's a message to be told. So thank you very much.
Every seed buried in sorrow.
Lord, we just ask tonight that that rain be poured down over this church.
We receive your rain.
Let it flow, Jesus.
We receive your rain. We receive your rain.
Lord, we ask that you would just come like a flood in this house, oh God. Lord, that just that flood would just come in like rivers of living water. That you would touch every life, Lord God. Every heart, Lord God.
And with great anticipation,
yes, Jesus,
we await the promise to come.
Come on, come on.
Everything,
yes,
that you have spoken,
yes,
will come to pass.
Yes, it will.
Let it be done.
Through this church, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Did you guys receive that tonight? It's good stuff. Who's ready to pray? You guys ready to pray? So tonight, an intercession. We've got the microphone up here. We've got some disinfectant wipes, so you can wipe the microphone. If you use the microphone, I prefer you wipe it after you get done for the next person. But we're gonna come in and we're gonna do prayer tonight. It's our time that we get to pull heaven down. Amen. You guys ready? You look like you're a little shell shocked. You guys ready to pray tonight? You ready? I'm waiting to hear Glenn Sorrentino rip off that Royal Ranger thing now. Ready for what? I don't can't even understand it. We serve a powerful God. Yeah, powerful God. Praise report for Christy's husband, Eric. I talked to him last night. He sounded just as ornery as ever, so he must be doing pretty good. Yeah, he's not here tonight. He's just not ready to come out in public yet. Yeah. All right. I'll call him later and tell him what I think about that. But I'm just teasing. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in this house. Thank you, God, for who you want to do it through. We thank you, God, that there is no one in this church that is exempt from your love. We thank you, God, that there is no one in this city that you don't love. God, we thank you that there is no one in this state and in this nation that escapes your eye and that your love is not upon them. Lord, you died on the cross for all of mankind. Your love is as great for us as it is the person that's outside that doesn't know you. Because just as you died for us, you died for them. And God, over harvest, over this church tonight, Lord, we're just going to pray and we're going to press in. Lord, that we would come to know your love in a greater way. Not just in our own lives, but in the lives of the people in our church, in the lives of the people in the church at large. Because God, it is your love. It is your love. It is your love that transcends everything. And God, that love needs to be seen in your children. And so, Father, we're going to step in tonight and just begin to pray into that area. So, Lord, we just thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, we